It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown.
Welcome to the B-movie breakdown, episode number 54. Brian Urlacher.
I have no comments.
I was just going to ask. You didn't sound too sure about that.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. 54. Brian Urlacher. I'm pretty sure. But he is not on this week's podcast.
Surprise.
Though, this week's movie has been known to be his favorite movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Duh. It's well documented that he loves this movie so much.
The one person.
There's a lot of people that really like this movie.
That's really weird.
From what I've read on the internet, also the novelization of this movie, people also like. But we'll get into that in a minute. B-Movie Breakdown is a weekly podcast where we find the humor and enjoyment, lesser-known films, and low-budget films of the past and present, home of the good, the bad, the what the fuck. Each week's movie will be revealed in the prior episode, so you too can join in the madness. This week's movie, if you own it, you could watch it. It's on Blu-ray. Shout Factory put it out not long ago. Those guys love to take some obscure things and make crazy special editions of them. And this is one of them. For some reason, Halloween 2 didn't get much of a release, and they kind of shoved it out in some amazing... They're kind of doing like what Alamo Drafthouse does, but taking like more well-known films. And they put out... Shout Factory also put out, I think, Power Rangers in like a giant box set. And like a ton of other stuff they keep getting the rights to and
putting them out.
Which is awesome because sometimes there's stuff that you want on DVD or Blu-ray or something and you're like, why does this not exist?
Mm-hmm.
And there's somebody that's taking the stuff that's like that and, you know, putting it out. Or you could find a download or Amazon Instant to watch it. You can listen to us if you subscribe on iTunes or our website, bmbpodcast.com, or on Stitcher. You can reach us on our site, our email, bmbpodcast@gmail.com, or on Twitter at bmbpodcast, or on Facebook, facebook.com/bmbpodcast. Just like last week's movie was suggested via email, so do that. Actually, Brian, who suggested last week's movie, we were discussing The Paperboy and things like that via Facebook, and he had mentioned another movie that I actually saw back in the 90s. It's called Buried Alive with Tim Matheson. And it was a made-for-TV movie, and they made a sequel to it, actually.
What?
And it was Jennifer Jason Leigh and Tim Matheson, and she, like, buries him alive for whatever reason, and he comes
get
back,
in there.
And I remember seeing it, though. Like, I didn't recognize it when he mentioned Buried Alive, but the second I saw Tim Matheson, I was like, oh, I totally remember this
I
now.
I have to see if I remember it.
Yeah,
I watched a lot of weird shit
made-for-TV
in the
90s. Crapola.
Is he the same person that's buried alive in the first one?
I don't know if I've ever seen the second one.
Oh, okay.
I think he's actually in the second
Buried
one.
Buried Alive again.
I was looking it up. Buried Alive 2.
Who would have thought?
Well, I'm Corey.
I'm Gina.
I'm Ryan.
And this week's movie is universally seems to be hated. I think mainly because it was called Halloween 3 and it had nothing to do with Michael Myers. I feel like if they would have just made Halloween, the first one, and then that would have just been it, and then the second one was this, it probably would have got would have been more well received. Like, people would have understood, like, okay, this is an anthology thing because the first one was this Michael Myers story. The second one is now this. Not one and two are Michael Myers, and then now three is just this.
We just want to change direction.
And
completely.
I understand, like, from further readings, and one, I don't know why the movie's called Season of the Witch. There's a small explanation about witchcraft.
Well, that's why I told my boss, like, I was explaining to him because I told him about the podcast, and he's like, oh, you're going to do your podcast later, blah, 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 we're talking about it. And he's like, what movie did you watch? And then I told him it was Luke. I told him, like, oh, I think it's Halloween 3, right? Or, like, robots or something. And he's like, no, those, like, witches. And I'm like, was it? Like, I don't think there were witches.
No, it's just called Season of the Witch.
Yeah.
Which is weird because there was that Nicolas Cage movie that came out a couple
Season
years ago.
Witch.
Season of the Witch. And I kept thinking, like, oh, why didn't they just make it Halloween 3 Season of the Witch remake with Nicolas Cage?
Oh,
he could have been Cochran, the bad guy. He would have been awesome. I feel like this movie, it had some decent ideas.
Yeah, it wasn't like total trash.
And it wasn't total, like, it wasn't just like the worst movie ever. Like, I've watched way worse movies than this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it could have been done better, like executed better. Still keep that same story. It's kind of a feeling I have with like remakes. Like, they always remake all these movies that everybody knows, obviously, so because people will fucking see them because they recognize the name. But like, remake something like this. Maybe you don't have to call it Halloween 3 Season of the Witch. You can call it something else, but it's the remake, and do it better.
Yeah.
Recently I was talking to somebody about People Under the Stairs. And I haven't seen that movie since the 90s, but they were like, oh, you know, I think if they remade this movie, like, it could be done really well.
Wasn't
like
the one with, like, Roach? Wasn't there a character?
Remember a little black kid.
Yeah.
That's all I remember. I just remember
Roach.
And there was, like, some, like, S&M stuff involved in the movie.
Is it the same movie where the kids break into the house at the beginning?
Yeah, that's, like, I think the whole thing with it, and they find the people under the stairs. Like, I don't remember.
Yeah,
it was a Wes Craven
deal,
so I don't really remember it, but I can't remember who it was that had watched it recently on Netflix and was like, you know, if they remade this movie, like, they were like, I don't really like remakes, but I would get behind them remaking this because it has, like, this idea and it's not the best, but it's like, it can work nowadays. I don't know.
With a decent writer.
With a decent writer and some maybe a better budget. This movie apparently had like very small budget, which is weird because the first two were so successful, but they needed like, they had to like beg this company that did the mask for Michael Myers to like make the masks for this. And then they ended up mass producing them and like selling them in stores to like market with the movie. Yeah, with the chips in them This movie, it's really just about this mask company that wants to take over the world, right?
I don't really know what their intention was.
What was the intention once everybody dies?
It was a grand prank.
It was just a prank
to play on the children.
Yeah, I guess that was his motto.
I think what sums it up is this review that was in the New York Times when this movie came out. It says, Halloween 3 managed to not easily feat. The not easy feat of being anti-children, anti-capitalism, anti-television, and anti-Irish all at the same time.
Pretty much.
Yeah, like, evil Irish towns. The plot, it's like this mass company, Silver Shamrock, and they're playing this commercial throughout the whole thing. Over and over again. It's on every TV. For 8 more days till Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. And it just keeps playing in the Silver Shamrock.
You almost feel like, I feel like that was effective though, as annoying as it was, because you do feel after a while like, kind of disoriented.
Yeah,
like,
it was annoying, but I felt like creeped out by it because it is like, kind of this haunting.
And
the guy's voice and the kid's head just going like,
I just like the fact that you're doing the head nods.
I can't not do the head nod.
For those of you obviously can't see Corey bopping his head back and forth.
Yeah, I can't like not do it for some reason.
It lends itself well to that noise.
Yeah, this mask company is trying to, they have this ancient technology, but microchips aren't ancient. They're pulling it from Stonehenge because they stole one of the pieces of Stonehenge.
Stonehenge.
Wasn't somebody watching something about Stonehenge early in the movie? On the TV?
Possibly.
I feel like somebody was.
Honestly, none of it really made sense to me.
Once you knew too much about this or like looked too far into it, they basically wanted you dead.
They wanted, like, all I gathered was, like, the whole time, like, what is the point of, like, what is happening?
And, what like, kind of benefit comes with killing everybody?
But this is, like, specifically
exactly.
Kids.
They kill the kids, but then it causes everybody else to die around them? What we're led to believe? Because in the room where the kid, which I thought it looked really cool when the kid was, like, freaking out and the mask was, like, different. It was like not just a mask anymore.
It was starting to like deteriorate.
Into like a pumpkin, like esque, like more of a pumpkin. And then the kid, I was hoping he was gonna like like meld to his head and he would have became like a pumpkin person or something. Yeah,
but instead a bunch of snakes and bugs came out of it.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that, the insects and the snakes crawling out of the mask.
So I get that the kid's dead, but then, like, what happened? The people around him just got to kill a bunch of snakes and bugs? Like,
no, like, his parents died, and I don't know why. Yeah. They died in the room.
The father, I'm pretty sure he was bitten by a snake. But the mother fainted on the floor, so who knows what the hell happened to her.
I didn't know if she fainted or she just died. She's I'm dead.
Well, she did the classic.
Yeah.
Oh, with the back of her hand on her forehead.
The one thing I did like about this movie, which is the part where you could incorporate things and make it like neat and creepy, were like these drone robots.
Yeah.
I liked them. They were like creepy, and they like when they're all standing around the warehouse yard. And the one guy's just in the darkness in that shed, but you can see half of them. I thought that was, like, well, like, I just like certain aspects of it, but standing overall it was just, like,
my number one, like, people standing and staring and in just, movies makes me extremely uncomfortable and frightened. So, like,
the original Halloween
I remember...
He's just standing everywhere
That until I was older, the original Halloween, which I know, like, shame on me or whatever, especially for having worked in a video store, but... Like, I didn't see it until I was older, and that scared the shit out of me, because, I mean, like, you don't have to do much, just stand and stare, I guess, with a mask across the street, and I'm fucking terrified. It scared the shit out of me.
Yeah. I really like in the Rob Zombie remake of Halloween, there's a scene where you almost don't even notice it until they zoom in more, but the entire shot, and it's one shot that they did, because I listened to, like, the commentary, and... He's standing back there, like, the whole time, but, like, you don't see it quite... But once you know that he's there, the next time you watch it, like, wow. And then it makes the scene even creepier. It's a scene when they're in the street, and she's, like, talking to somebody.
Her friend or whatever walking.
Yeah, but it's like... But they don't... You can't see him until he really fully comes into frame, but it's just, like, so creepy that he's literally there this entire, like, 10-minute...
It's like daytime out, right?
Yeah, this, like, 5 to 10 minute scene, and it's all one shot. But he's just standing there the entire time.
Hmm.
And it just makes it... Once you know that he's... Like, you know he's there towards the end of the scene because they make it obvious. But once you know that the whole time, you're like, God, this is, like...
Freaky.
Making this a conversation very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I was just watching the original one last night, actually. And it's there's a bunch of scenes in there where it's just... Like, he's just standing there and it's just the shoulder... And it's just uncomfortable. And they, but they do it. The music is so well done. And the music actually links to this one. John Carpenter did the music for that one. He did the music for this one. I honestly had no idea John Carpenter was still involved with these movies at this point. I thought after two, he was like, all right, I'm out of here. Apparently, the reason he came back was because they decided to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way him and his like producing partner or whatever said they would come back. Like, if you do something totally different, how we wanted to do.
Yeah.
Because that's what they wanted to do after the first one, but it was so successful, they're like, well, bring Michael Myers back.
Well, we have to pump out a sequel,
Which is okay, because they leave it open, because he doesn't die. There's no body at the end. He just disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the second one, he fucking blows up in hospital, and it's a little harder but they bring him back like 8 years later. I think it said that was the that's when they made the next sequel. Yeah, 7 years. It was 7 years from 3 to 4.
Oh, really?
Jeez.
Yeah,
that is crazy to think. Yeah,
so like 89 would have been Halloween 4, the return of Michael Myers.
There's a lot of time for people to ruminate on like how much they actually did hate this third one. Well, at the time, do you feel like it's probably more hated in retrospect or not?
No, I think it was hated then more because people were on that like Halloween fix of them like coming out. That's kind of like when the Friday the 13th movies. Everybody was like fucking pumped on Jason, and then you come out with 4, and it's called The Final Chapter, and people are like, oh, they're killing him, it's the final one, he's gonna, and then they have 5, and then he's in it, but he's not, because it's spoilers, he's a copycat, it's a copycat killer, and it's like, everyone's disappointed and all butthurt, and, I am still, there's some alright moments in it that I'll always go back and watch it, but it's like the worst one of the entire series. And I guess this is the worst one of the Halloween series. Though I don't really care for all of them after 2.
I've only seen those, well, except for the third one now.
See, the return of Michael Myers is when he goes after his niece, who is played by Danielle Harris. She's in the Rob Zombie remakes as Laurie's one friend, which is kind of, like, funny that she's in though. She's in both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes after her, and Donald Pleasance is in it again as Loomis, and I don't really remember much of it. I just remember it just being an all right movie. And they just kept going, and they end up, it ends up being, like, there's a cult that was, like, controlling him and stuff like that, because, like, they bring H2O. Danielle Harris back in 5, which is called The Revenge of Michael Myers, and then the last one's called The Curse of Michael Myers, and I think that's when they bring up the whole cult thing. But then they made H2O, and then with H2O, I guess you're just supposed to forget that, like, 4 through 6 happened and just 2 happened. I don't fucking...
Josh Hartnett's in it, whatever, who cares?
Yeah, he is.
I guess that, I think that was the point with that
in
one.
In The Curse of Michael Myers, Paul Rudd is in it.
What?
He plays the older version of the little boy that she babysits in the first movie. Tommy Doyle.
Oh my gosh. I haven't honestly, so
they've really come full circle.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, who fucking knows with these movies. But back to the third one that we watched this week.
I think that was the one point where I was kind of like, I was like, okay, there are like redeeming qualities when, speaking of like the animatronic or like the robot people that are supposed to silence all the people who are catching on in the movie to this whatever conspiracy to kill kids. The girl at the end, she freaked me out. I didn't like, well, that she
when scared. She was a robot?
Yeah.
Was she a robot the whole time?
That's what I was wondering. And see, that's where like some of this movie like is all, I was like, all right, it's like it'd be like a okay movie. Like it has these aspects where it like makes you think. But just everything else was just kind of this filler boring.
There are, like, poor execution parts that are just hilarious.
That's what I was telling Ryan earlier. I was like, it could work maybe as, like, a 45-minute, like, Tales from the Crypt episode.
Yeah.
But not as an hour and a half long movie.
And, like, what was the point of her, like, her robot was, I told Ryan, I'm like, is she just, like, a grabby robot? She's, like, obviously not equipped to kill him. She was just, like, grabbing at him.
Well, she was trying to crush his skull, I guess, like the other ones did.
Yeah, earlier in the movie, one of the other robots pulls a guy's head off
and
with
smashes
his bare hands.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was wondering, was she a robot the whole time? I don't...
Because the rest of them were completely bereft of emotion the entire movie, except for her. And then he obviously slept with her,
That's well, maybe they're making them anatomically correct.
I was going to say, what's up with that?
With the personality chip in this one?
After he had sex with her, she had a... when he pulled out, there was just orange goo all
right?
over.
Right? Like, what's
up with
that?
I don't know.
It's spermicide.
Or they, like, replaced her.
I think that's what happened. I think that they killed her and, like, cut her skin off? I don't know. Or just had the mold, made a mold of her and created a robot version of her. Put her under the blanket because they knew that he would come try at some point if he got away or something would come to try to rescue her.
Yeah.
Because earlier she was very organic.
No, yeah, she was.
But then
none of the other drones or robots or whatever you want to call them, they weren't like her. They had no emotion. They were just
found her too, like she was silent, like different.
But yeah, that was kind of like a little twist. And then, but though she kept just coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
or
you know what I mean?
Part
like,
of her
he
did.
Cuts her head off, and then he shuts the door, and the door has the arm, and the arm grabs him. He's like,
the
Whoa.
Arm, like, falls on the ground, Whoa. First
yeah,
of all.
The way
it, like,
that,
fell on the fucking ground, and then next thing you know, it's, like, around his neck.
The way
like,
that
choking.
It was edited was terrible.
And then he's like, oh, finally. And then the body gets up, and the body has one arm, and it's like, bah!
Yeah, and it's because
the head
like
was,
he
like, still alive on the ground, kind of.
Oh, yeah, and she's, like, looking around with the head on the ground. I thought that was funny. Yeah, her eyes were making, like, that animatronic
and
noise.
Well, one thing I had thought, too, at the end, so she tries to stop this commercial from airing, because when the commercial airs for the giveaway, the chips in the back of the masks are going to activate when all these kids in all over the United States are wearing them, which apparently it's the same time everywhere.
Yeah, 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock is 9 o'clock everywhere, I guess. Like, I guess maybe we didn't see the commercial in other time zones where they're like 7 and stuff like that, or whatever. Like 10, it would have been like 11 o'clock and except shit here. Like, you know, like midnight on the East Coast. better stay up till midnight tonight, kids.
Right.
But, yeah, the time zone thing was kind of weird. And, like, the one time they were like, New Orleans, Louisiana, and it literally looked like some neighborhood down the street. Like, that didn't look like... I've been to Louisiana. Looked nothing like Louisiana. But, yeah, and then he tries to stop it. And one thing I liked about this movie was that I thought, you know, he's going to either do something at the lab place to stop it, destroy it, something, or at the end when he's calling on the phone and he's, like, trying to... I guess he called headquarters of TV.
Yeah.
Right?
Remove this
maybe
commercial
it was
from Channel all three of your stations.
Maybe it was the big-time TV producer from Heart Ticket to Hawaii.
The one that smokes the big cigar.
Yeah, and he called him up, and he was like, turn it off, the channels! And apparently he was only airing on 3 channels, or that's all channels everybody had.
Yeah, right.
It was just 3 channels.
I guess.
So,
call TV and tell them to stop
well,
this.
Well, I guess back in 82, like, there wasn't that many
that
channels
to choose
from.
That is not how.
I said,
who
is
buying these spots? Like, this is an all-powerful media buyer just buying out every fucking channel at the same exact time.
Well, the Silver Shamrock bought them all. They're...
I got them. It's just like, it's so ridiculous.
When he was calling,
that's
though.
The most ridiculous part of this movie. Somebody paid for this spot to air on national television.
Well, the guy,
this never happened.
On every channel.
The guy did run a Halloween mask
factory.
All right, I mean, they
defeated.
Mass produced these throughout
and everybody
the
in America
country.
Wanted them.
I'm waving my white flag on that.
But when he called, I just didn't understand his conversation with the rep on the line where he's asking them to turn or take the commercial off the air. Take it off. Just shut it down. And you hear them ask or tell them, we can't do that. Well, tell them
it's a bomb
or something.
Yeah.
Tell them it's a bomb.
It's like the commercial's a bomb or my phone call's a bomb threat.
Or like the bomb is in the masks. Like that's where we looked at each other like, tell them it's a bomb? Like
the bomb is inside the TV.
Yeah, like what?
Yeah,
like, what?
I don't. And then he's just yelling, stop it! Stop it! Stop it! And they get 2 of the 3 channels or whatever to go off and they don't get the final one and the little girl in the gas station's turning the channel and then it just ends. And I liked that because I like that I guess you can assume you don't know, but that everybody dies, I guess. And I expected this to have a like most
resolution.
Horror movies and even the Halloween movies, except for the first one, I guess, because they don't find the body, to have some sort of resolution, like to they save the day. She died, but he lived and saved the day, and you know, and can deal with all his demons that he has because that character was apparently in the novelization of this movie. Which
a drunk?
What they're called mass market paperbacks? I guess that's what the technical name is.
Trash novellas.
Like mass market paperbacks. They go deeper into his drinking problems and that character and his demons and things like that.
So his wife was like, "You drunk again?" So
yeah.
He calls
well,
his wife
I mean, he does call up and say, "Take the masks off the kids. You're just jealous that they got the masks and I got them.
They love the mask more than they love you."
Yeah, right?
That's a harsh thing to say, woman.
I mean, he did just go bang this chick he just met.
Who's like,
may or may not have been a robot.
And she was, like, many years younger than him.
Well, she goes, I'm younger than I look.
That's weirder.
She did say that at one point.
And
while,
I feel like...
Right before they were getting ready to bang. And she brought lingerie with her.
Yeah.
Like, she knew. She was like, my dad's dead. I'm going to go identify the body. I am banging somebody.
Gotta get this lingerie in here.
Yeah.
Never leave home without that trusty laundry.
And she just had a little, like, luggage thingy, because the guy's like, packed light, and she's like, we're prepared, or something. some stupid.
He looked like McGruff the crime-fighting dog. Like, I just want to put it in there.
Dr. Chalice?
That I had a really big problem with this guy's face. Like, his face from the get-go bothered me, and then when I realized he was going to be, like, a main character in this movie, I was pissed. Like, I don't know why. His face was gross to me. I just really...
The one person I really liked the most probably was Cochran, the villain of the movie.
Yeah, he was good.
I thought he was really good. He's really good in RoboCop. He's not the main bad guy, but he's the guy who runs OCP.
Mm-hmm. He was crazy.
So not the one who dies at the end, the one who, like, fires the guy who is the dick, whatever his name is. Yeah, but he's in RoboCop, and I liked him in that. And I liked him in this. I thought he was creepy.
Yeah, he was creepy.
His delivery of everything was really good. And, like, even though some of it was just spitting out nonsense, he delivered nonsense
pretty good. And when he was, like, looking up at them, that was another part that we needed to discuss.
I liked that. When he, like, applauded that they...
Like, oh, touche.
Like, oh, you got me.
But then there was a whole nonsensical part of them, like, thinking, okay, so, like, the whole running of this operation's done by, like, those animatronic people in coats and stuff, but then they found that big box of just the chips.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, because they're obviously chip, just...
Because they're cutting off pieces of the Stonehenge that they stole. How did they get that there? How did nobody, all the way, the whole trip, notice that they were transporting a piece of the stolen Stonehenge?
Well, because of budget issues, they had to cut out that Halloween heist movie they right. always planned.
Halloween 2.5, The Heist. Season of The Heist.
But then I don't, like, so they're just, like, magic. At first I'm thinking, like, technology, like, computer chips. Like, why is it just raining chips down on them?
Well,
it was a tiny circuit board.
It was a medallion that had, like, a chip on the back. So were they taking the pieces of the Stonehenge and turning that somehow into a circuit board?
Using it as a conductor? I don't know.
Yeah, because at the end when they...
That part I just don't understand.
When they, like, zap all the... They rain them down.
Well, they play... He strategically plays the commercial, because what it activates the things is the commercial. So he plays it on all the TVs down there.
Yeah.
And they make it rain medallions with pogs. Chips on them. Yeah, pogs. Yeah. Slammers. All over the place. And then they activate and they start shooting lasers out.
Yeah, they're like lasers coming out of these little
pieces. And they're destroying all the robots. But then because all the TVs are playing at once and the chips are all there, it creates like a circular beam and then it connects with the Stonehenge.
And obviously.
Kind of like the Death Star, right?
And it zaps yes. the bad guy.
And zaps them, and that's when
and
he
turns
claps.
His head into stone?
No, I think he just...
He, like, turned into something and disappeared.
He became invisible.
What happened?
He turned... It did look like stone, like, kind of like...
Like a
and
weird...
And then he just disappeared.
Yeah.
It was very weird. He explained the whole thing... This is the explanation, what's the... Here's
the rivers of
here's
blood.
The witchcraft Grand part, prank. Where he says... That's gonna unleash a lethal swarm of insects and snakes, killing those around the wearer. Cochran explains his plan to resurrect the macabre aspects of the Gaelic festival Samhain, which is a witchcraft.
Where they, like, sacrifice kids and animals or whatever,
yes,
right? The blood rain down and stuff.
Sacrifice!
Samhain is a Gaelic festival marking the end of the harvest season and the beginning of winter or the darker half of the year. It was an Irish... It's Irish witchcraft.
Time to kill the kids again.
Yeah, that's how they connect witches to this movie. That one small explanation.
My favorite part during that discourse was when he was like, what does he say? To complete our craft. And then the doctor's like, witchcraft. And I just totally wanted it to turn into like a who's on first type of situation, but it totally didn't.
No, they definitely didn't. That was just like the weird, and apparently somebody read online that somebody said that Michael Myers in the second one on a chalkboard writes Samhain. So maybe that's where they were trying to link, but they were showing the movie in this movie.
There were
two times.
They were segueing.
Yeah,
the one
I
was
remember
a,
that.
Because this commercial or giveaway thing airs during the showing of Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that.
Because there's a commercial for how it's going to air, and then they actually show clips of the movie. So, like, that never happened in real life because this movie exists in a world like ours where that movie is a movie.
Maybe if we show this movie and the movie that doesn't have any relation to this movie, then it'll make it connect with the movie that it doesn't connect with. Like, I don't understand.
Whoa, dude.
Heck, right? So meta.
This is some Inception shit right here. With Season of the Witch.
I don't think they thought that far ahead.
The one part I did kind of like as a scene as a whole, because we're just like picking apart things that were like decent and then things that aren't, was the beginning. I liked the beginning. It was suspenseful. It was creepy. You have this guy running. You don't know why he's running. You know, you don't have no idea that it's connected with this Irish novelty making company with masks with Stonehenge.
Silver Shamrock.
But he's being chased. This creepy guy shows up, and he's smashed by a car. And then the guy keeps running. He runs to the gas station. What happened when he got to the gas station? Like, fainted or something? The creepy gas station attendant, misshapen head. He shows up later on. Not making fun of him at all, but he just had a very misshapen head.
His head was weird.
He was weird. And then he was like, is this guy gonna be okay? Do I need to stay? Yeah.
Can I go now?
They're like, yeah. I like how the doctor's reactions were like how they would actually be. They're like, yeah, you can, there's no, you can go.
Well, maybe he just thought because he was a black man bringing somebody to the hospital that they might have some questions.
You guys gonna arrest me?
Yeah, and then he goes, are you, I'm not to blame for this.
Like, I'm just being a good Samaritan.
Yeah, because then the guy who was the, who's the dad of Ellie, the woman throughout the movie, he's just like, they're coming. And then the creepy guy walks into the starts walking around the hospital, and then he gouges this man's eyes out.
Yeah.
And like crushes his skull. And when they show the skull back, it was all like deformed and stuff. I was like, Jesus. Like, and then he just nonchalantly is wiping the blood off of his gloves.
I do remember that.
On the partition.
On the partition. And he gives, and this is before you know that they're robots.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking it's just this fucking guy who doesn't give a fuck. He just doesn't care that this woman catches him. He gets caught, and he's just like, whatever. He walks to his car, pours gasoline all over himself, and sets himself on fire.
Yeah, that part was pretty intense. I remember the beginning.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that part. But the thing that bothered me was they call the police immediately at night and stuff to come there and whatever, and the burned car and the body or whatever are still in the parking lot the next day. It's like daylight, and they still haven't removed any of the exploded car.
No police on scene. Nothing blocked off.
No, nothing.
Just the charred remains of a car.
And one thing, why did they start the movie on, like, Saturday? Because they said the time frame. I said Saturday, and then the next day after was Sunday. When the doctor witnessed this all, he's the Dr. Chalice, he witnesses all of this, so he's the one that, like, is in the whole movie and trying to help Ellie. And then it skips from Sunday all the way to Friday.
Yeah.
Like, why not have the movie start on Thursday, then? And then they could have just picked up and kept, like, why did
there's
they
some
do
major
that, like,
time lapse problems with this movie.
Yeah, it was just, it was really weird. And Ellie, I still can't believe, the one thing I really can't believe in this movie more than anything was that they hooked up. Like, it was just like, I wrote down the line she says, because it was just so ridiculous. Oh, at one point, she was talking to him in the novelty, in her dad's, like, pharmacy or whatever he ran, but that sold the masks.
Yeah.
Like, she was like, we gotta find who killed, she kept saying my father and dad a lot, but then the one time she goes, we gotta find who killed Papa. I was just like, What era is this? Like, do we just travel back in time? Like, who says Papa? Like, and then she's like, I've been doing all this detective work. And then they cut to him calling his wife on the payphone, and then with a six-pack of Miller High Life.
Yeah.
I was like, High Life and detective work equals amazing.
Yeah.
Equals goals accomplished.
Doing so much detective work in the field.
Yeah, it was just, yeah, I don't know. It was just really weird. And I like when the first time Cochran drives by the hotel, he just creeps.
Yeah.
Like, the car just creeps in, and they're like, oh, there's Chris Cochran, blah, blah, blah.
Just the crazy old Irishman.
And the family we were talking about earlier with the kid who dies, they were like, what was their name? Buddy.
I don't know.
That was, he's like, I'm Buddy, and that's Buddy Jr. And the kid gets on the bike, and he's like, get around my bike, middle finger.
I wish
stay off the road! Fuck you, Ma!
Buddy and Betty Kupfer.
Kupfer?
Yeah, and Little Buddy. That was the little kid. Yeah, stay off the road! Fuck you, Ma!
I just wish there was a way to, like, show the dad when that kid's head started, like, disintegrating. When he's like...
Yeah.
Like, he just... It was a really, like, whoa, whoa! But he, like, didn't do anything or yell.
He just stood up
or,
and started going, yeah. What's going on?
Yeah.
What's going on?
I don't think they ever covered in the movie why exactly the bugs and the snakes came out. Like,
witchcraft.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. Because the laser beam seemed to kill most people. So you think when it was activated, because it's in the mask, it doesn't, like...
So if you...
Because, like, the one woman got she got obliterated by it. Her face was just completely fucked.
Uh-huh.
Spiders were crawling out of her mouth. Which I found out, if you notice, they cut and they cut back to that woman's head and then they show it all messed up. Because they couldn't do it all at once like they wanted to. Because... And the makeup job was really well done. But they couldn't because that woman decided she refused to... She just didn't want to wear prosthetics.
On her face?
Yeah. She said, I don't want masks and prosthetics on my face.
Don't put chips in my head.
Like, you've gotten this far. You're not, I know, anybody. Like, really, you're gonna... I don't know. There were quite a few makeup parts in this movie that I really liked. That, and then when they squished the one guy's head and pulled his, like, face off and stuff. I thought they did a really good job with that.
I always feel like older movies, or, like, when we watched Hellraiser and the guy... Like, remember... I don't know.
Oh, in Hellraiser, it's really good when they're pulling all his skin off at the end. Uncle Frank, and they're pulling all his skin off the chains and stuff. Oh,
and then...
So some sugar, baby. Yeah.
What a creepo. Like, parts of Total Recall. Or was it Total Recall? Yeah, where, like, Arnold's head's, like, in his eyes, like, bug the fuck out. Like, old school makeup and effects. That's because you had to, like, do shit.
I always appreciate when movies use practical effects. And, one movie that did that recently, and I didn't expect it to at all, was the remake of Evil Dead. The majority of that was practical effects, and I was, like, really just... I was, like, glad to see that. Like, I don't even care that it was a remake of anything. The fact that they used practical effects, and it wasn't a CG-filled...
I liked it.
...fest, you know? It was an alright... I thought it was an alright remake. I didn't think it was the worst thing ever. There's been worse.
We'll see where, like, Ryan and I differ is that I went into it with, like, no expectations and, like, no real affinity for...
I love the other ones.
Well, see,
It was what it was, but it was... had some cool bloody moments, and it was one of the bloodiest movies I've seen in a long time. I'll give it that, too. I haven't seen a movie that bloody in a long-ass time. But I really... I think the one thing that won me over with it it has nothing to do with the plot of the movie or being a remake. Was it the fact that they used practical effects and it's a movie made in 2013?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't happen too often. That's like we watched that show Face Off, and that's all about makeup effects. And I feel like all these people do such a good job, like week in and week out on the show. And it's like the one reality show where people are actually doing a job. They're like putting hard work into something.
Right.
And who knows how much longer these people can even have a career.
There was a girl that went to Bradley, where I graduated from, that she won something for, like, makeup effects, but it was for, like, Lord of the Rings or something. But not, like, that's where I feel like horror differs, because...
Some horror movies still use practical stuff. You get too much of the CG nowadays.
Way too much.
Even with, like, stabbing and stuff.
It's pointless.
You can just have real blood, like, effects. Like, there's some people that are purists and still use it. Like, some of the old school people, we'll use it till it's fucking over with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Wes Craven still does it. Like, Scream 4, I don't remember it feeling like it was CG stabbings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I didn't say that.
It looked pretty realistic. Well, what I was going to say before, though, what he said to her, or they're having a conversation in the bedroom before they get it on, they're talking about where he should sleep. And he's like, do you want me to sleep in the car? She's like, well, it'll raise suspicion, which is true. Like, you probably shouldn't go out there. And then we get into the room, and then she goes, well, where do you want to sleep, Dr. Chalice? And then he just walks over to her and kisses her. I was like, really? They known each other one day.
He's just like, I'm
one,
in.
One day.
He was waiting
after
for
he
it.
Kisses her, doesn't he say something to the effect of, that was a stupid question.
Yeah, yeah, he does.
Oh my god.
Yeah, or where do you think I want to sleep? Or something like that. Or, I don't know. Yeah, it's just like, one day. That's all it took. She's that easy.
Well, that's why they had to split up the time frame like that.
So they'd be
so
okay for
maybe
them
they
spot.
Knew each other for a few weeks.
No. Because he talked to her in the hospital, which was Sunday. She doesn't come looking for him again until Friday when he's in the bar drinking.
Oh, here you are, doctor.
And like, he goes, your dad said he loved you before he died. And she's like, yeah, I know you're lying. He just tried to make up some little sap story for him real quick. And then they had like a little sex scene. It was like kind of quick. Wasn't no boob or nothing in it. But
no boob in it.
Well, I mean, like for a movie like this, you'd think there'd be boobs. I don't think there's boobs in the original Halloween either, but...
Yeah, weren't there boobs?
I don't think so.
When that... Wasn't there?
In the remake, there are. Danielle Harris is showing her boobies. But, not in the... I don't remember, but I was watching it last night, but I only watched, like, part of it, so I don't... I haven't watched it in a while, so I didn't really...
I didn't keep a boob count on the original.
Two boobs.
Two boobs.
Zero boob. One half boob.
One half boob?
Mm-hmm.
All right, half boobs. But, yeah, one thing I was going to say before, too, was... With the whole thing at the end with their, like, everybody dies, I guess. Or everybody in America dies from these masks or being around them because it seems like everybody has them. Was the plan then to, when everybody dies, to turn everybody into robots?
They never even...
No, they didn't say that, but I was thinking, like, he loves these robots Maybe. So much and these... he has this passion for making
masks
novelties
and stuff. Yeah.
Was he just going to turn America into a country full of androids?
Maybe he wanted to make a truly autocratic society where he was the supreme overlord.
That's what I mean. Maybe that's why I feel like this movie, the guy who wrote this movie, he was trying to write some sort of message about, like...
Maybe he just had a god complex.
Yeah. Yeah, true. But the guy who originally wrote this movie, he... asked for his name to be taken off because he said something about how he wanted to make it not like a horror movie, but a horror movie, and not have it have gore, any blood or gore, and they were like, well, it's like, the other movies had it, so we want to keep with it a little bit, even if it's not a lot, because this movie didn't have a ton in it.
No.
Just kind of here and there.
It was
just like,
very graphic.
It was very graphic, and then he was like, I don't want anything to... He sued them to get his name off the movie, because he wanted nothing...
Suit them.
Yeah, that's what
you
said.
Usually they would jump at the chance to kick you off.
Yeah, I don't know. It said that he sued him to...
yeah, like, all right, fuck you. We're going to take this and
run. No royalties for you, buddy.
He sued them to get his name off of this...
Get me off
producers to
shit.
Take his name off the movie after seeing how violent it was. I think they ended up crediting him, even still, even though he dropped out, but...
That is weird.
Yeah, very... Very
I wonder
weird.
What it would be in his vision. What was your vision of this, sir? Like, the boring, and then robots?
I don't know. I didn't understand the tagline for this movie. I get it was a play on the original, but it didn't make sense. The original tagline for Halloween was, The Night He Came Home. And this one on the cover of it says, The Night Nobody comes Home. Is that because all the kids die, but they go home to watch the show?
Yeah, right? They're at home watching the commercial.
Yeah, I don't...
It's just creepy.
Yeah, I don't...
Spooky scary.
It's just kind of weird. But I guess Jamie Lee Curtis was the voice of the operator on the phone when he... Anytime he tries to call out, it's Jamie Lee Curtis.
That's funny.
So she's the one that asked him if he was drunk again?
No, that's his wife, though.
That's his wife.
She's the operator.
Oh, I thought you said anytime he was on the phone.
No, anytime he's on the phone and the operator picks up. Because multiple times it's like, it says like, oh, this cannot be completed, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, back when you used to have to do things that way. Like dial 10
Zero.
Or whatever, yeah. There was, what was
we,
that?
We never had to do that, though.
No, we never had to.
No.
Yeah. Well, there was like 411. Does that still exist? Does that still exist?
I would hope not.
I don't know.
It doesn't need to.
Didn't they
doesn't
charge
need
you?
To. Yeah, they did charge you.
anybody could just look up the information now.
Mm-hmm. Then you could call, but you can call like an like remember time and temperature.
Can you imagine how boring it would be to be an operator right now?
You wouldn't have anything to do.
You would just sit there, bang your head off your antique switchboard.
I guess. What are the? I always wonder about the phone freaks, but that's a whole other thing. People who phone freak are weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, needless to say, this movie was a financial flop. It was the least successful out of any of the Halloween movies. Even Halloween Resurrection with Busta Rhymes, it was less successful than that one.
Trick or treat, motherfucker.
Trick or treat, motherfucker. That's right. Yeah. And apparently, but the book, we're talking about the mass-produced, not paperback, it was a bestseller.
So the book sold more than the movie?
Yeah, the book did way, was a commercial success as opposed to the movie.
Maybe everyone was offended by Dr. Chalice, like yourself.
I guess. I just don't want to look at his ugly face.
Damn, apparently...
But that stash.
Shit, I think this movie would have been way better. I'm just reading that the original person who was supposed to direct this was Joe Dante. Joe Dante did Gremlins and a bunch of really awesome horror movies. But he was, at the time, supposed to be doing a remake of Creature from the Black Lagoon that never happened. Yeah. Or he was writing it for John Landis to direct.
Huh.
Which I think would have been awesome. John Landis doing Creature from the Black Lagoon, but it fucking never happened.
Weird.
But then they got this other guy to direct it who was a regular collaborator with John Carpenter. But I think that would have been interesting. Dante directing this and John Landis doing that. It's kind of a weird, random little tidbit there.
That is weird.
I guess the gas station attendant is also in The Fog. We were talking about that before, so if you want to see his misshapen head again.
What's his name?
It just said the gas station attendant.
No, I meant the actor.
Well, that's what I mean, though. I'm not on the page of list of actors. I'm just
gas
on,
station guy.
Yeah, I don't know.
/ murder suspect? ?
I don't think he had a name in this movie, but I can look up his the actor's name. Maybe he has a Facebook page like Mark Murat from last week.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Since he had the, I don't know, a technician, would that be his name? No.
Well.
Like his character's name? Harry Grimbridge? Or Teddy?
Could be a Harry Grimbridge.
Oh, you know what was it? Well, something else we didn't really focus on before we end. The whole, like, love connection thing with the coroner.
Oh, yeah.
It is kind of forgotten, but it's a weird thing in this movie. This guy's like a drunk, but he's also like, a ladies' man. Like, he's the best doctor in town who knows him, and he's, like, got this deal with the coroner, and she kisses him and everything. Then he goes and bangs another chick. But then, after he bangs her, he's on the phone with her.
I forgot
and he's like,
about
he's
her.
Like, she's like, you owe me two dinners or something, and he's like, all right, she's like, and he goes, a dinner with you? I don't have to owe you that, or something like that.
Yeah.
And then she ends up dying, because
she
has
she
the
got
remains.
Drilled in the movie,
yeah,
least.
She got drilled. Yeah, that was pretty awesome. They didn't really show it, but I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah, she got drilled, I forgot. Yeah, because she had the, because she goes, all there is car parts and ashes, which essentially it's not car parts, it's parts of
robot.
A robot.
She was about to unveil something everybody already knew. Because by that time, he had already killed one.
But I don't think she knew that it was robots.
She was calling him for something important because she...
Oh, that's right.
She was sifting through the ashes and she found some of the gears and nothing really clued the viewer into knowing exactly what she found, but she went, that can't be. Mm-hmm. And immediately got on the phone, so obviously
robots?
She figured out that it was a robot. But
well, obviously
he already
she
knew,
must die.
And she had to die.
Yeah, duh.
She knew too much.
Uh-uh. I remember thinking, I completely forgot about that, but I remember in the beginning thinking like, well, all right, doctor.
It's easy to forget details like that
because
they
didn't
pertain to the story.
No,
at all.
It really didn't.
No.
Oh, and if you want to know the actor's name, Essex Smith.
Oh, all right.
His character was apparently named... The character had a name.
Smith and Essex.
It was... Yes, yeah, Smith and Essex. I can't remember that. Doug Jones or something. Walter Jones. Oh. Did they ever even say the character's name?
Hello, Walter Jones.
He's only been in a handful. Hopefully
there's
of,
a fan fiction about him.
About, oh my god. You should write it. He's only been in a few things.
Before he OD'd.
No, he's still old. According to IMDb, he's still alive. He could have died. He's still nobody old. Knew. He's, on a,
he's waiting in his apartment right now.
He was on years. An episode of Night Court as prisoner number one.
Wow. Good old Night Court. Oh my god. Jesus Christ.
Well, for what it is, it's just an alright movie. It's nothing...
I liked it better than some of the stuff we watched.
Oh, yeah. I'd watch this probably again before I watch Axe Giant and Wrath of Paul Bunyan. Or there's a lot of other crap we've watched where... I just think the stink on this movie is that it's called Halloween 3 and it doesn't have Michael Myers in it. And it doesn't... And in the retrospect that they went back to Michael Myers 7 years later and now this one is just exists as Halloween 3 is this filler movie.
It's like a Dingleberry on the whole franchise.
And it really doesn't even exist in the same universe, because in this movie that movie is a movie. It didn't happen in that universe. Those murders didn't happen in that universe, and Michael Myers is a character that they know like we know, so it just doesn't matter. It's just weird. And, yeah,
but that was the first thing everyone said when I said we were watching this. It's like, doesn't even have anything to do with Michael
Myers.
And
I think that's why everybody gets so upset about it.
That's
like,
what
it
every
was,
single person
it came,
said to me.
Yeah, it came up today at work, too. Like, I mentioned it, and there was a couple people that were like, that one's the... It just sucks. Like, it's just the worst. It's the worst movie. Like, do you remember it? Because I watched it, and I didn't think it was all that bad. I mean, I love Halloween. I love Michael Myers. I love that character. And
if you would have showed me the movie without telling me what the title was, I would have never guessed that it was related.
Yeah.
I mean, the only very small detail is the fact, like you were saying, they had a commercial advertising the Halloween movie.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that really
tells
you that it's
this
could have
been called something else. It almost feels like... Well, like I was saying, well, I've heard the 13th Part 5 has Jason in it, so
they
could have
dropped Halloween
Season of the Witch.
Yeah. Just left the subtitle.
Yeah. Well, apparently, not long before that, there was a movie called Season of the Witch. Martin Scorsese movie he did early in his career called Season of the Witch.
But that didn't stop Nicolas Cage.
No, it didn't stop Nicolas Cage
does anything?
Ron Perlman. To be in some... I never saw that. I kind of wanted to just because it looked fucking ridiculous.
No.
Sometimes I enjoy Nicolas Cage, okay? Drive Angry? Fucking love that movie.
The only reason he made... Some of the movies he made was to buy new wigs. That's the only reason he made some of those movies.
Like honestly, have you guys ever seen... Either of you seen Drive Angry?
No.
We should watch it for the podcast. It's it's purposely bad. It's a purposely grindhouse bad... Like that style.
Uh-huh.
It's not like trying to be something and it just sucks. It's purposely. It's called Drive Angry, and it's about a guy that comes back from hell with a car. And it's just. He drinks beer out of a man's skull in the movie, okay? He has sex with a woman while stabbing people in the movie.
Oh, man.
Well, the last time. We watched a movie that was purposely bad. It was the FP.
This is true. So. But this has Nicolas Cage.
I don't know if that's selling me. I used to love Nicolas Cage, but I liked vintage Nicolas Cage.
There was, but we don't get to
like
see it.
Like Ghost Rider era?
Yeah, right.
But we don't get to see it in 3D, so we lose the... Because there are a lot of... It has those, like, hokey 3D moments.
Where the bullets come flying at the screen.
I don't know if anybody uses any guns. There's, like... Somebody gets stabbed with, like, a thing on the wall, and it goes through their head.
Oh, duh.
Like, it's all those kind of, like, old-style 3D. You know, like, Friday the 13th Part 3 is in 3D, and it has, like, when Jason shoots the crossbow, it goes...
And, like, My Bloody Valentine.
Yeah, it's, like, that old style of 3D. But, I mean, Nicolas Cage is ridiculous. And the guy who plays the devil in it is hilarious, too, in Drive Angry. But regardless, I don't know. I just liked it because it was just silly. It was just silly and what it was just some stupid, silly movie. And Nicolas Cage being ridiculous, and that's what he's good at nowadays.
Yeah,
okay. So, hey, want to come do this movie and just be yourself? Sure, come on over.
And he'll play an alcoholic again.
Yeah, you get to drink a beer out of a man's skull. That gets to happen.
In Las Vegas.
Yeah, only this time you're not trying to kill yourself drinking. Yeah. Just driving.
Just driving. Not drinking. No Elizabeth Shue either.
Yeah.
Right? She's the one in the
movie, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But then there was also Honeymoon in Vegas, and that was Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah.
He doesn't try to kill himself in that one.
No, he's not some fucking crazy alcoholic in that movie. I've only ever seen part of Honeymoon in Vegas. I don't really care for Jessica Parker.
It was just like a weird...
She just doesn't... Striking Distance, I've seen that movie. It's her and Bruce Willis as boat police.
I do remember that.
I remember that. I feel like I haven't really seen a whole lot of things with her. Like, Hocus Pocus, right?
That's about
the extent of most people's Sarah Jessica Parker experience, other than... being fans of Sex and the City.
Right.
Which was a very deceiving show when we were, like, being younger and that came on HBO. Like, Sex and the City? A show about sex?
In the city?
And like, hell yeah, it's gonna have tons of boobs. Oh, well, it's like a boob here. And like, it's just
an old ass, like,
completely
post-menopausal.
Well, that's
boob.
A boob's a boob when you're younger. Yeah. It's like, come
you
on.
Take what you can get.
You take what you can get. So it's fine, but just being disappointed that it was an actual show and not just like some like real sex spinoff was disappointing.
I mean, at that point in time, I think everyone was still on dial up.
Yeah.
When the show came
yeah.
out.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Definitely. But all right, crazy way off topic here. But so next week we're sticking with our horror movie marathon, whatever, for the month of October, and Ryan has tastefully chosen 1982, oh, same year as this movie, Visiting Hours. So frightening, you'll never recover. A crazed woman-hating killer attacks journalist Deborah Ballin. When he discovers that his attack didn't kill Deborah, he comes to the hospital to finish what he started.
With William
yeah,
Shatner.
Yeah, duh.
Well, William Shatner and Michael Ironside. I believe Michael Ironside plays the killer. He's kind of an evil guy. He was in Total Recall, Michael Ironside. Yep. I have no... With the trailer really didn't show much. It was like a 30-second spot.
Yeah, so, that wasn't very helpful. It was just weird. Well, we'll see what that has
we'll
to
see
offer.
What, yeah, we'll see what Visiting Hours brings. I'm sure it'll be wonderful. So, yeah, next week of Visiting Hours. It's on Netflix. A lot easier to check out than some of our more recent movies. So check those out. 4B Movie Breakdown, I'm Corey.
I'm Gina.
I'm Ryan.
We'll see you next week.
It's the best of the worst. B Movie Breakdown. It's the best.